The question today is, why can't I believe? This is part number 10, should be the last part of this question today. Very serious question, because it's equivalent to why do you not believe? We have a book on that by Andrew Murray, he scolded his people of his church years ago for not believing, but basically then said, and Alan in the book, that you cannot believe until the work of God's been done. And there's a necessity to believe. You need to believe. But I also know that you cannot believe until a work of God's been done. I do not believe one can ever exercise saving faith. And that's what we're talking about, believing unto salvation. It takes saving faith to be given to you before you can ever believe. And then, of course, at that same time, God grants repentance so you can repent. Also, at that same time, God reveals himself, the Lord reveals himself to you. Holy Ghost does that. He's hidden in the bosom of the Father, and it takes a full, complete work of Holy Ghost conviction, godly sorrow, whatever you want to call it, but it's the word of God of reproval, work of reproval in John 16, 8 through 10, or 8 through 11, where it said, when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. That's a very important thing. I know the message on why can't I believe on this question. We have all these that's been on the radio broadcast that's available, free for the asking. We've got series on why do you not believe. We'd be glad to send you CDs on that. Seven messages that's been preached in our church. We have different material, what it means to continue, that we've dealt with so much. Because you see, the reason people have not the Lord Jesus revealed to them is because they've not continued in his word. He said, if you'll continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John chapter 8, verse 31, 32. And so if you don't continue, you can't expect to ever get to a place that you might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have several, several reasons of why. You do not believe, or why you're not able to, why can't you believe, is what's keeping you from getting to having Jesus revealed to you. We said it's just us not walking in his word, not walking in light, not striving to enter in, not allowing the plowshare of God's word to get down in your heart, plow it up, not keeping the seed. This is a few of them, and you don't understand. You're apathetic about the things of God. You're not willing to pay the price. And you don't want a Lord. You see, all this is important because this is necessary. Jesus said about paying the price in Luke 14. You cannot be my disciple. If you come to me and do not love me supremely, is what he was saying in John 14, or Luke 14, 26. You cannot be my disciple. There's no way on earth you're going to ever believe and be genuinely saved unless you come to that place. And it takes the work of God to get you to that place. You just don't wake up one morning and that happens. It takes the work of God to get you there. So I pray you'd make yourself available and make a feeble attempt to continue. And it will be feeble, all you do. But yet God in his faithfulness and his goodness will give you more light if you will obey the light you have. But if you get apathetic about it, indifferent about it, it'll lead you to a full-fledged immorality. In other words, you're going to be caught up in what we call a road to ruin in Romans chapter 1. But we said also the reason that that some cannot get to the Lord Jesus is that they do not see they have not come to the place to believe, that have not seen enough to believe that Jesus loves them. They don't see enough in those who claim to be Christians to believe that Jesus really loves them. And we dealt with some of that yesterday. But we said that Jesus said to the disciples when he was leaving out in Acts 1:8, he said, if you'll be witnesses of me. That means to give a firsthand detailed account what the Lord's done for you. That means you have some understanding because you know in whom you have believed. You know, and you're salty and you're light. And salt makes you thirsty, and salt preserves. And light enables you to see more clearly and have more hope in your life. And that's what the saints of God are there for, to let Jesus love others through us. The psalmist said in Psalm 142, no man cared for my soul. And sometimes you get to that place, believe no man cares for your soul. But you realize God wants to love others through you. The Bible talks about in Hosea chapter 11, I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love. And he uses human instrumentality to love people through. And you need to know that. God does love you. The Lord loves you. He gave his only begotten son to die on Calvary that you might have life. Jesus himself loved you enough. He died in your place. And the Holy Spirit loves you in the sense that he's willing to long-sufferingly deal with you when you reject him. And let's stub your nose at him as an expression would be. But yet, realizing that there's some out there who understand and will stay with you and care for you and what you're going through. That's cords of love that God used. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, the conversation means manner of living, and he said for the saints of God to have their manner of living upright, honest among the Gentile, which is representative of the lost, that whereas they speak of you as evildoers, they used to see you what you were like, but now they'll see your good works. The only thing good about any of us is what the Lord's done in us, that they behold them, they'll glorify God in the day of visitation. That means when God visits them in Holy Ghost conviction and godly sorrow, that they'll let God work them, bring them to the end of themselves and grant them repentance and grant them faith, reveal himself to them so that they might repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That brings glory to the Lord, because that's why he came to this earth. That's why he robed himself in flesh, that they might seek and save that which was lost. So you see, and here when it talks about let them see your good works, that's what basically the word reprove means. One of the meanings of the word reprove in John 16:8, when he says he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. The word reprove means, one of the meanings of it is to give evidence of. In other words, it's to tell a fault is what is translated in Matthew 18. But it means to give evidence of, and it means to convince and persuade by argument using evidence at hand. In other words, why is it you God's Spirit's got to argue with you? Because you argue with him. And he uses evidence at hand. That evidence at hand is the conversation of the saints of God, the manner of living of the saints of God, that you might see to get thirsty and you might have light, as they are the light and salt of the earth. In other words, maybe the reason that you've not gotten to the place that you need to be is that you've not seen enough evidence to know that God really loves you and cares for you. You need to know that. He does love you. There's a preacher one time that came by our place, and he basically stated, God doesn't love sinners. Well, that's not what the Bible said. That's totally contrary to the Bible. He's trying to use it as a scare tactic to get people to make a false profession, is what it amounts to. He looked like he was doing a good thing, getting a number, but that wasn't what it was, you see. And you need to get your eyes off those in error, those who say they're saved, off those in sin. Get your eyes off of them. You see, the devil will magnify those to you, but the evidence is in his saints. The saints are few. The Bible said, few there be that find the narrow way that leads to the straight gate, and then few of those are going to enter in. And so turn your eyes upon those who live the truth and those who practice the truth. I know there's few, but look at them, especially on the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never let you down. So why can't I believe? Not seen enough real evidence in people that the work of reproval might bring you to the end of yourself. And then another reason you might not be have Jesus revealed to you is that you might be stuck in the slough of despond. And the way back seems better than the way forward. That's what the story of Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim was stuck in the slough of despond. And it would no doubt have been easier to have gotten out, to move back toward the city of destruction, put his eyes back that way. But he kept moving forward toward the celestial city, toward the cross of Calvary is what it amounts to. And as a result, even though it was a harder way, and even though it was no doubt in a deeper despondency, all at once there came a hand down of help, came down and reached up and picked him up out of the miry clay. And that's what the Lord will do for you, you see. Don't just get stuck in that slough of despond and just stay there, you see. I mean, say something else. The reason some people may not have ever really had Jesus revealed to them is because they may have never been really awakened. They have all their priorities wrong, and they're still on the broad way, headed to the narrow gate, even not even wanting to get to the narrow gate. They think that they're okay because they've probably maybe they was touched one time and maybe had a little work done in their heart, but they wasn't fully genuinely awakened. They jumped on something the devil gave them and said they got saved, and it caused them to even not be thankful about the light they did have and not to move toward God, and they got short-circuited in this doctrine of once saved, always saved. And it is true that you're once really saved, you are always saved. But they made a false profession and are holding on to it, and they don't have any fear of God before their eyes. The Bible said the natural man in Romans 3:18, there's no fear of God before his eyes. In other words, there's no reverence and respect of God. I'm talking about some people that could be in church every three times a week, could be sitting there still, have been blinded by the devil, the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are lost, and whom the god of this world have blinded the minds of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine unto them. And there's some people that's been there that still don't have any understanding. They've not continued in his word. They may never have really genuinely been awakened, if you please, and still they're going their own way, doing their own thing. Doing what they want to. It don't matter what God says, you see. And really, no respect and reverence of God. And what happens is they're no better off than the harlot spoken of in Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 20, where it says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. I have done no wickedness. In other words, you may be like her in one sense. You've heard the preacher preach that you need to dress in modest apparel, and you rebel against that and wear what you want to. In essence, you wipe your mouth and you say, I've done nothing wrong. You forsake his house, not willing to assemble together like God said. And you, in essence, you wipe your mouth and thumb your nose at God and say, I've done nothing wrong. It's okay, everybody, I've done nothing. You rob him of his tithe and wipe your mouth and say, I've done nothing wrong. You refuse to train your children. And you, in other words, and you say, I've done nothing wrong. It's not me. I've done the best I could. And you wipe your mouth and say, I've done nothing wrong. You hear the preacher preach Luke 13:24, where it says, strive to enter in the straight gate. And you say, I'll do what I want to. And you wipe your mouth and say, I've done nothing wrong. Proverbs 14:12 said, there's a way that which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And what'll happen? You'll remain in your unbelief, and you'll die, and you'll go to hell. Why can't I believe? It's because you're not willing to pay the price. You don't want a Lord. You're not willing to continue. You're not willing to do what God said. And you're just wiping your mouth, in essence, and thumbing your nose at God and saying, I've done nothing wrong. And you'll never get to that place where you'll have repentance and faith and the Lord Jesus revealed to you. And therefore, you'll never believe, and you'll die, and you'll go to hell. You don't have to be that way. You can come God's way. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you. Until we meet again on the air or in the air, may the good Lord bless you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.